Welcome to Korean Context, a behind-the-scenes conversation with the scholars, artists and opinion makers that bridge our two worlds. My name's Chad O'Carroll and I'll be your host today. By the time you listen to this, the Korea-US Free Trade Agreement will have entered the implementation stage. To celebrate, Korean Context caught up with two of the main movers and shakers behind the deal to find out more about what it was like to work on the agreement and learn about their thoughts and hopes as things now move forward. Starting the conversation, we spoke to Ms. Wendy Cutler, Assistant US Trade Representative for Japan, Korea and APAC Affairs. I started by asking her how Korea fits into the larger economic picture for the United States in Asia.
Well, it's true. The Obama administration has put top priority on our engagement with Asia, particularly on the economic front. And in that regard, we hosted APEC last year. We joined the East Asian Summit, and we also have joined the TPP negotiations. In addition, we've just concluded, and shortly, the U.S.-Korea FTA will enter into force. And this is the biggest FTA we have in the Asian region. It's a high standards comprehensive agreement, and we hope it serves as a model for other Asian countries as they conclude FTAs in the region.
Okay, so not that long ago, many people would have thought that an FTA with Korea wouldn't have been possible. What's it like being watching Korea change over the last decade or so?
It's been quite remarkable. You know, when I look back when I first started working with Korea at USTR about 10 years ago, the first issue I worked with them on was the issue of intellectual property protection. And there, my first meetings with them were quite unpleasant as they were not enforcing or protecting intellectual property. Now, in that area, there are close partners, and the FTA chapter and IPR is probably one of the most comprehensive and ambitious parts of the free trade agreement. And IPR is just one of the issues where Korea's made enormous strides. So it's been a quite remarkable development transition, and we really view Korea now as just a very strong and equal partner of the United States on all of these issues.
And of course, issues like beef, autos, they've been some of the main areas of discussion. But what are some of the other interesting things about the agreement that you think haven't gotten so much attention in the press?
It's true. The issues of beef and autos have gotten a lot of attention in the press, while a lot of the other areas of the FTA have not received adequate attention. It's interesting to note that the FTA has about 24 chapters. Just the rules themselves comprise over 300 pages. There's 11,000 tariff lines where tariffs are being eliminated. There's rules of origin, over 100 pages of services commitments. So there's a lot in this agreement. And frankly, someone like me who's worked on this for over 6 years, I think I know everything that's in the agreement, but not a day passes when someone asks me a question and I learn something more about what's included in this agreement.
So much detail. I mean, how many people were working on this in Korea in the U.S.?
In the U.S.? Probably at any given time during the actual negotiations, about 100 people on each side in Korea and the United States. Obviously, over the past few years, when we've been working on ratification and focusing on more specific issues, fewer people have been working on it. But I can guarantee you anyone who's been working on it has been working 24/7 to get this done.
So vacation duty.
Yeah.
Okay. So around 80% of Americans work in the services industry, but the types of work they do abroad often can't be quantified as easily for the public in general because there are no tariffs to cut. These are important provisions, but how do you overcome the challenge of explaining to the public why abstract changes to rules and regulations matter?
The services area is a huge area of the free trade agreement, and we believe that the provisions with respect to services offer benefits not only for the United States, but for Korea as well. For the United States, the FTA will further open Korea's services market, which is estimated at over $500 billion. And the FTA provides a lot of, gets rid of a lot of restrictions in the various services sectors, whether it be environmental services, telecommunications services, or legal services. The types of barriers it addresses is getting rid of regulations that impede competition, more transparency, non-discrimination, and really provides the ability for our firms to operate in Korea more freely in these sectors. And it's interesting, for Korea, one of the reasons way back when Korea decided to, that it wanted to do a free trade agreement with the United States, was specifically to enhance the competitiveness of Korea's services sector by using the FTA as a means to reform, open, and deregulate its services sector. So we believe this sector will provide win-win benefits, not only for the United States, but for Korea as well.
And regarding these benefits, as with any free trade agreement, many of the provisions are phased in over time. So what are some of the immediate benefits that U.S. businesses and consumers should see from the agreement?
Right. On day one, which will be in a few hours, tariffs both in the United States and Korea will either be totally eliminated or start on the path of reduction. For the United States, 80% of U.S. exports of industrial goods, the tariffs on those goods will be eliminated, meaning our companies will face zero tariffs in those areas. Also, tariffs on two-thirds of U.S. agricultural exports will be eliminated in a few hours as well. So that means no tariffs. That's big, and we think that will give our companies a real edge in the Korean market. In addition, many and most provisions of the FTA will go into effect in day one, including with respect to non-tariff measures including regulatory transparency, auto standards equivalency, and I could go on and on and on.
Okay. So much of the attention has been focused on negotiations. Are there any challenges now that the FTA has been implemented that we should be looking out for?
I think we should all expect there will be some what we would call startup problems, and that's inevitable. We have a big trading relationship with Korea. This agreement covers a lot of areas, and a lot of different ministries and agencies in both governments will be enforcing this agreement and will be abiding by new laws and regulations that go into effect in a few hours. But I'm confident that we'll be able to work closely with our Korean counterparts to address these startup problems, you know, in a very effective and rapid manner. Also, we should just expect, given the huge trading relationship between the United States and Korea, which is now over $120 billion in two-way trade between the two countries, even before the FTA goes into effect, we're going to continue to have some issues with respect to our access to Korea's market, and Korea will continue to have issues with respect to the U.S. market. And we'll use the FTA to help work through these issues and solve them as partners.
Okay, and just out of interest, obviously the Europeans have an FTA with South Korea as well. Are there any lessons to be learned from how they've dealt with some of these issues?
It's too early to tell. I mean, their FTA has gone into effect about 6 months ago, but we haven't heard a lot about problems between the EU and Korea, so I suspect they're handling some of these startup issues and other issues in the manner that we would hope to resolve them with Korea as well.
Okay. Now, you served as the lead negotiator for the CORUS FTA and the additional discussion that took place last year. What are some of your best or perhaps most interesting memories of the experience?
I have a lot of memories of the experience, some good, some bad. But probably the most memorable experience was that no matter how bad things got, and there were times when things looked pretty dark between the United States and Korea, that we were always able to communicate and somehow to get back to the negotiating table and to resolve the issues at hand. And so I have enormous respect for my Korean counterparts in that they were able to find a way forward, recognizing that the FTA was in their interest, and obviously the United States viewed this FTA as something that was in our interest as well. So we were always able to, you know, get back to the table and to address the issue at hand.
Okay, now during the original negotiations, you became rather well recognized in Korea as something of a role model for women. What's it like to be seen as a role model for women in another country?
You know, it's interesting because when I started these negotiations in Korea, I viewed myself just as the U.S. lead negotiator, and I never thought of myself in terms of being female. But in Korea, this was noticed, and I recognize now why I was noticed, because all my counterparts were men. And as a result, a lot of women in Korea, I think, looked to me and had a lot of questions and interest in what it was like to negotiate with the Koreans, what it was like to be in a relatively senior position in the U.S. government. And through the years, I've had a lot of contact with Korean women, and I've tried to share my negotiating experiences and advice, career advice, and try to encourage them to really do what they want to do and aspire to the positions that they want to achieve. And if I've had any influence, or if they're listening to my advice at all, I'd be very, I'm very humbled and gratified. But I think there are a lot of young Korean women in particular in their 20s and 30s who have a lot to offer their country. And I would just encourage them. And I know that they'll be in senior decision-making positions of their government going forward.
Okay, excellent. Well, thank you very much for your time today and joining us at the Korean Context.
Thank you.
Next, I spoke to Kim Ki-won, Minister for Economic Affairs at the Embassy of the Republic of Korea. Just to start out, you know, the US has had a long and mutually beneficial relationship with South Korea, but in recent years it's fallen to become only Korea's fourth largest trading partner behind China, Japan and the EU. In a globalized world, how do you think that the US-Korea economic relationship now fits into Korea's larger economic picture?
It is true that the proportion of United States in Korea's foreign trade has relatively decreased over time. But it is not because US-Korea economic relationship has become less important, but because Korean businesses have successfully expanded and diversified overseas markets. The United States, in my opinion, is still the most important market to Korea, since United States the largest and the most sophisticated market in the world, where global competition takes place daily. If a Korean product is successful in the United States market, then the same Korean product can be highly recognized elsewhere. Korea and the United States have enjoyed a very strong and strategic partnership for a long time. So the CORUS FTA will make this strong partnership to expand further and flourish.
Okay, thanks for that. So, you know, there's been a significant amount of discussion about why the FTA is beneficial to the US, but there have been some concerns raised by some in South Korea that it might favor the US. Could you give us a better idea of how Korea will benefit from the FTA?
Basically, free trade is a job-creating economic stimulus without fiscal burden. So the CORUS FTA is mutually beneficial, win-win agreement to both countries. Let me talk about some more benefits of the agreement from the Korean perspectives. First of all, CORUS FTA opens up the world's largest U.S. market to Korean exporters, because the U.S. market is 15 times bigger than the Korean market. The competition in the U.S. market is very tight, with most global business players actively participating. Korean companies will gain much from tariff elimination, from the beginning, which will further increase competitiveness of Korean products in the market. Secondly, FTA will enable Korean businesses to upgrade to new level of competition, particularly in the services sector. My experience shows that Korean businesses have always become successful whenever they are exposed to global competition. This has been the case with electronics, autos, movies and entertainment, retail businesses, and many others in Korea. Lastly, CORUS FTA will offer excellent opportunity to improve our regulatory systems by enhancing transparency and embracing global standards. Through this regulatory upgrade, I'm sure Korean economy will grow strong and competitive as it did after financial crisis in the late 1990s.
All right, so in the US and Korea, there's been a lot of talk about how free trade agreements often benefit large companies, but you know, small and medium-sized countries often miss out. What are some of the ways that smaller firms can benefit from the CORUS FTA?
Small and medium-sized enterprises have many benefits to gain from the free trade agreement. SMEs are frequently discouraged from exporting abroad due to tariffs and non-tariff barriers. CORUS FTA will eliminate such barriers, allowing easier access to U.S. Market, help them find new customers, new suppliers, and partners. I'm sure that Korea, CORUS FTA will open up many new opportunities for SMEs in both countries. In addition, the SME promotion is a keen interest shared by both governments. Last year, Korea and the United States agreed to establish small and medium-sized working group, a small and medium-sized enterprise working group as one of the FTA institutions.
Okay, so the benefits from the FTA are, I guess, ultimately going to depend on how well companies are able to utilize the agreement. Are there any steps that the Korean government's taking to ensure that customers, farmers, and producers in Korea are getting full advantage of the agreement?
Best utilization of the agreement is a focus of the measures the government is facilitating now. We are making strong efforts to help businesses better understand and fully utilize CORUS FTA. For example, Korean Customs Service provide one-on-one consultations to exporters and importers in Korea. And also, my embassy has launched a new website to connect U.S.-Korean businesses directly. This website contains information on the state-by-state and industry-specific information on the benefits of FTA, helping businesses get connected easily with potential partners and share their experiences in the Korean and U.S. market. This website address is www.uskoreaconnect.org.
Well, that website sounds very interesting. I'll have to have a look at that. So just moving on, much of the attention has been focused on the negotiations. Are there any challenges now that the FTA has been implemented that we should be looking out for?
Well, as you know, now it is a political season in both countries. Particularly in Korea, parliamentary election is less than a month away, while presidential election is coming in December this year. Free trade, despite its proven benefits, is not a popular election issue, and Korea is no exception. It is all the more true with CORUS FTA in Korea, since the general public is sometimes misled by ill-conceived images and different political views. We are also conscious of NAFTA precedent, which has unfairly suffered from bad publicity despite its contribution to the U.S. economy in general. We do not want to repeat the same mistake here.
All right. Well, the CORUS FTA has often been called the third pillar in the U.S.-Korea alliance. Now that it's in place, what do you think the future holds for the U.S.-Korea economic relationship?
Of course, KOROS FTA is frequently called as an economic alliance or third pillar or another pillar of U.S.-Korea alliance, because mutual economic partnership will grow much stronger in addition to existing security alliance. As President Obama pointed out during Korean President Lee Myung-bak's state visit last October, Korea and United States are already enjoying balanced and mutually beneficial trade relationship. Now, with FTA in place, trade and investment will expand further in both directions, contributing growth and job creation on both ends, which we need badly.
Okay, and just to round up, what's your experience been like working in the United States on the KOROS FTA?
Well, Korean embassy has made strong and unprecedented efforts to pass the KOROS FTA in the U.S. Congress last year. I think we have set up an example of grassroots outreaches and public diplomacy across the nation. And it was a very rewarding exercise, experience for us on both sides. And I'm very proud to have been part of such an exercise. We'll continue to make such efforts to enter into next step of faithful FTA implementation and its maximum utilization.
Okay, Minister Kim, well, thank you very much for participating today on Korean Context. And I wish you all the best.
Thank you for your visiting my office.
Thanks.
Well, I do hope you enjoyed today's podcast. You can download other episodes at our podcast website, which you can find at keia.podbean.com. That's keia.podbean.com. We'd also really appreciate it if you could leave us some feedback using the comment system on our website or directly on the iTunes Korean Context page. If you'd like to suggest a candidate or topic for a future episode, then be sure to drop me an email, ocarroll@keia.org. That's ocarroll@keia.org. Thanks for tuning in and hope to catch you next time.